I was watching a video the other day and happened to be on YouTube, and it was talking about arts in America. And the speaker was talking about sitting there, said, every other culture in the world, art is a necessity and an essential. And it seems like the American culture hasn't quite accepted that yet. And so we're here today talking with Harlan Springer and Bettina Hannigan, and they've got some hard, concrete evidence that why, you know, we should look at art a little bit differently in our community. Harlan, why don't you start out? You guys have been in actively pursuing folks, getting survey and getting information about how the arts affects our community. What have you learned over this past year?
Well, first of all, thanks, George. Thanks for having us here. We appreciate it. And yeah, you're right. Arts has been viewed as sometimes a nice, you know, but not really necessary. And what does it really contribute anyway to the economy when there's all many things going on? So we decided to really take a hard look at that. And what do the arts and culture contribute specifically to our community? So what we did was we formed a steering committee of interested citizens and volunteers. I just want to give a shout out to the people that helped us to do this work. Bettina Hannigan, who's here with me today, and Joe Beaudreau, and Mary Beers, Jesse Dolan, who's with the Oregon Coast Visitor Association, and Susie Lacer, who's with Siusla Vision. So what we did was we spent a year from May of 22 to May of 23 surveying audience members who came to local arts and culture events. And we surveyed like over 25 events, a wide variety of events, you know, art exhibits plus last resort player, performances, Crow performances,
Winter Music Festival.
Winter Music Festival, yeah, and the home show, things like that. So we got a wide variety, the classic car show. So we got a wide variety of venues, so we get a broad spectrum of results. So we did, we contributed, we completed almost 1,000 surveys. In fact, 950 to be exact. So the first thing I want to do is I want to thank the community for stopping by at these events and filling out our little survey. And in the survey, we asked people, why did you come to this event? Where did you come from? And when you, while you were here out at this event, did you spend money around the community, you know, during, you know, as a result of coming to this event? And we found out some pretty impressive statistics. First of all, this total economic impact is over $7 million for arts and culture events. $7.3 million. And what's really significant is that people who come to these events, the average audience member spends about $65 in local businesses in addition to the price of the ticket. So it's $7.3 million total spending, and the local businesses get $65 every time somebody comes. So it also supports about 118 jobs. And I think Bettina is going to talk more about that in a little bit. And it also – these people contribute to taxes. They pay taxes here to the extent of about $200,000. And they also pay state taxes and federal taxes. In addition, we asked 15 local organizations who do arts and culture events like FACE and Crow and FRA. You know, how much energy do they put in and resources do they put in to arts and culture events? So the numbers I just shared with you, the $7.3 million, is a total of what the audiences spend and what the cultural organizations spend. So there's a significant impact right here in Florence about arts and culture events.
Now, obviously, when you say people spend $65, it might be dinner, it might be shopping or something or like that. That is an immediate return to the local business community.
Yes, it is. And it's also there's lodging if they came in and stayed overnight. You know, that's the lodging wins or souvenir gifts, any of that sort of thing. It's interesting because when people came to these events – and we asked them if they'd fill out a survey that talks about the economic impact, they would say, well, I'm local, so I don't really spend any money. And we would say, well, wait, you came out to this event. Are you going to go have lunch afterwards? Are you going to have dinner? Did you buy a T-shirt? You know, what are you going to do? So people, when they think about it, they realize when they come out to an arts and culture event, they spend money locally. And that's important because that means that the businesses should be supporting arts and culture events because they give back to the community. And it's not just our opinion anymore. It's not just a feel-good thing we're doing here. You know, this is actual data from our community. This, by the way, is not some data that somebody in New York, you know, sent and said, this is how people feel. These are events you know, filled out by people in Florence at Florence events.
Now, the business community, as Harlan was saying, benefits from this. What's the message from the chamber to the local businesses on this? Because I know that the chamber's there to support local business, not necessarily to put on events, but it does support some of the things that are happening.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that Harlan didn't mention was that these are nonprofit events. This doesn't mean like NFL football.
Right.
These are events that are produced by nonprofit organizations. So imagine if we were to add in the for-profit events to this number. So this number, 7.3 million, is only the nonprofit events generation. So, and you know, when our locals spend, they spend local in our restaurants. You know, maybe I get a new dress. Maybe I go down to Stitch and Soul and buy some new shoes to go with my new outfit. And then what about a babysitter? You know, and so all of these things impact our businesses. And there's so much more than just an economic impact. There's a cultural impact, and that we can't really put a price tag on. And today it's really nice that we can have the data that reflects exactly what the economic impact is. I think that there's a much bigger picture than just the economic impact as far as creating an environment where we are going to attract people, professional people, to come and work in our community. This having arts and culture is attractive to people, and they're going to select a community that has that more often than a community that doesn't. They want their children to have cultural and arts opportunities. We have that here now, and we're going to be able to continue to support that. And when I talk about what that impacts the businesses do, the business support the community because businesses support employees, which support the kids in the community. So it really is a big deal. And a lot of people say, well, I'm retired and I really don't care about, you know, kids and that type of thing. And it's like in 10 years, that second grader is going to be entering the workforce. So this is a workforce issue. And from the chamber's perspective, we're looking at this as creating a current economic impact now and creating a culture where we can attract professional people that are be doctors and professionals in our community. And then it also is creating an environment where their children are going to grow up with that and they're going to stay here. And in 10 years, they're going into the workforce. So it's a current impact and it's a long-term impact.
Harlan, what does this message say to things like the schools and that, who maybe not necessarily in our school here, but nationwide, they've been cutting back on the arts. They've been cutting back on cultural things like that. Does this say anything to kind of reinvigorate or put that message back in there that this is something necessary that we need to start when they're really young?
Well, there's all kinds of evidence, George, that says that kids who are exposed to the arts in school do much better in school and do much better in life. And the reason for that is they learn creative thinking, which is a huge skill that all employers are looking for, is creative thinking. So, you know, and it also gives some kids, you know, that's one of the reasons they go to school, is because they want to get involved in writing or creating or painting. That's the highlight of their day. So it encourages kids to come to school. So this is just, as Bettina said, this is very important culturally, just to have a better look and feel to the community, and kind of it adds a vibrancy to the community. It's kind of like things like public art. When you walk around and you see vibrant things in your community, it makes you want to come and stay there, maybe open a business. Maybe if you're a developer, come and build some houses. You know, so all of this works together. You know, the arts and culture is a piece of the whole community here that works together to make a better community.
What, if you want to talk about it, you can say no, you don't. But what precipitated the forming of these steering committee to do this? What did you see in the community that needed this information brought out?
Well, first of all, this is a nationwide study. It's sponsored by Americans for the Arts in Washington, D.C., and it's done every 5 years. Now, Florence has not participated in the past, but it has been done in the state of Oregon in the past. So we saw this as a chance since it was coming up, and we were going to get help and support from Americans for the Arts and from the Oregon Arts Commission and from Travel Oregon to help do the study. This is a great opportunity. And it's time. It was a nationwide study. It was done in 373 communities nationwide. It was done in 19 communities in Oregon. And I have to say that there's a gentleman from Americans for the Arts who's a VP of research. He came out and visited. He only visited 9 cities in Oregon. He visited Florence because we were one of the ones who did the best job on the surveys. You know, I must tell you that 950 surveys in Florence is about 50% higher than the national average of surveys. So people wanted to come and fill out our surveys. You know, sometimes you get surveyed to death. Let's face it. You go get your oil changed and somebody wants to, you know, do a survey.
You know. You're talking to customer service. Can you hold for a short survey afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah. So we had some concern early on, I'll be honest, that people would see we want to do a survey. They're like, no, I'm busy. But that's not what we found. People want to come and help. And so that's how we got almost 1,000 surveys. And some people, you can do them at each separate event. Some people filled out surveys 3 or 4 times at 3 or 4 different events. So we're very proud of the fact that people responded to this. So to answer your question, this is a national survey. It's done across the country and across the state. And we're very thankful that we had such a great response here in Florence.
We had a great response. And I think that when we talked about it at the revealing event, and that which, you know, we always love to say how much Florence is better than everybody else.
Tooting our
because
horn.
We are, right? Right? He that tooteth not his own horn, the same shall not be tooted. Mm. And Florence's numbers per event were almost 50% more than Portland. So people came to Florence and spent more than they spent in Portland.
Wow.
So I think our community, the people that we attract that come here, they like that. It's part of our tourism investment. From the Chamber's involvement has twofold. One, obviously, economic development for our members. And two, the impact of tourism. And having art and culture events is a wonderful shoulder season activity that people can come over here for in our slow time.
And this doesn't take into account high school sporting events, the dunes and all this stuff. This is just simply events that are put on for the arts and culture.
Yes.
Nonprofit events.
Yes.
Other than the financial impact of this, what did you learn about some of the answers that you got from the survey?
Well, in addition, back to Bettina's point about the social impact, on the survey, it also asked some questions like, this venue is inspiring a sense of pride in my community. 89% of the people who filled out the survey said this activity inspired a sense of pride in the community. 87% said, my attendance is a way of ensuring that this activity is preserved for future generations. And also, 84% said, I would feel a great sense of loss if this activity were not available. So, over 80% of the people, you know, had a social impact around these events. They want them to be here. They feel they add to the community.
And they also said that if we didn't have an event going on here, they would have gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
So that was a key point. If we don't have these events, we're not going to attract these people that are coming over. And from the tourism standpoint, the Dean Runyon report says that if they stay overnight, the average tourist spends $258 a day if they stay in a hotel. So, you know, they come over for the wine and chowder trail. You know, that's, you know, they stay 3 days. That's $750 per person, you know, that comes over and spends here. And that's impacted with, you know, with the event and what they spend at the event, the day of the event. But if they're staying at a hotel and, you know, all of the other parts that impact that travel experience.
Harlan, did you get a sense of doing this, of how many events like this would be too much, or is it not enough? Do we need more of this, or are we at the right amount of attracting people that we're not like overindulging folks?
Well, it's a good question. There are only so many events that we do, okay, that are in the sort of the arts and culture area.
That we do, we could do. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Okay, yes. No, you're right. What it says is that people want to come to these events. This is what the data shows. And so if we had more of them, we would get more people here. By the way, the number, the $65 that is spent on things other than the price of the ticket in local businesses, it's about $50 for local people. It's almost $120 for people who come from outside the area because, as Bettina said, they come and stay overnight. So these events really attract
outside
visitors.
That's just an average then.
It's an average, yes.
Because I was going to say, I don't know where two people can go in town and eat for $65. I'd like to find that place. But anyway.
So yeah, this says that if we could do more of these, it would attract more people, and people have indicated by this data they want to come.
And this sets us up to be able to apply for different grants because now we have the data. Mm-hmm. So we can it gives us more clear evidence of what we're investing in. And so when we go out and we ask somebody, whether it be the Ford Foundation or Ford Family Foundation or whoever we're soliciting, we've got data that says, you know, A, we're a rural community. We're actually, you know, an island community. We're 60 miles away from anything, mm-hmm. which, you know, other people think a rural community is Coburg. Well, you can be at Costco in 10 minutes in Coburg,
yeah.
right? We're an hour and a half or a good hour from any Walmart or, you know, any larger community with resources. So when we're looking for grants, the more evidence that we have that will support a thriving community, the better we are at being able to attract that kind of revenue to support what's going on here in town.
When you talked about grants and things like that, obviously these nonprofits that put on these events, it costs them money to do that. Is that something that a grant could then cover in the future, or is that grants, or are they more for other things?
Harlan, we didn't even touch on how many volunteer hours are invested in these.
Yeah. Thank you.
It was 1,000.
It's like 30. Let me first answer George's question about what else could we be doing and that sort of thing. Let me answer the volunteer question first. Since we're mostly done by volunteers, we calculated about 35,000 volunteer hours went into these events, 35,000 hours, because we're a community that runs on volunteers. And, you know, they have a number that they've calculated about what's a volunteer hour worth. And it's about 30 some dollars an hour. So it's over $1 million in impact.
Donated time.
Yeah. It impact of what the volunteers do. So, you know, that's really significant because that's how we operate here. And, you know, so this is the one other thing that this does, in addition to the grants, talking about the grants, is that if you Senator Dick Anderson was here at his town hall last night, and as was Boomer. And so when you talk to the legislature, you know, they need to figure out a way to put money where it's most useful. And so this kind of data, we just formed an arts and culture caucus in the legislature. And this kind of data is what they can use to help get money, more money for the arts and culture in the state, throughout the state. So this is helpful locally. It's also helpful statewide because it shows legislature. I mean, there's a lot of priorities we have. Housing and homelessness, all these things are critical. But this shows that arts and culture gives back to the community, so it should be supported.
And I'd like to say that it's not a spend, it's an invest.
Yeah.
For our businesses, that, you know, when Crow comes out or FACE comes out and says, hey, you know, put your ad in our program or be a sponsor, be a diamond sponsor, it's more than just a spending for an advertisement or exposure. It's an investment in our workforce and attracting the right people that are coming here and being a part of that thriving economy. So we talk about spending money. I don't have any money to spend. Well, do you have money to invest? Because this is investing not only in today, but it's investing in tomorrow.
And I imagine this information here is also a good selling tool for those when you're putting out a pamphlet or a flyer or a book or a tourism piece there. And I see Harlan's handing me one here.
So one of the things that I mentioned too at the reveal event was if you imagine that this survey or this data shows that it supports 118 jobs. And people are like, well, that doesn't sound like a very big deal. Well, you figure we've got about 5,000 employees or employed people in our community. But 118 jobs, if it were a business, it would be in our top five businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you're right up there with Bi-Mart or, you know, that's the impact. 118 employees would be in our top five businesses in town.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah. What else do we need to know before we wrap this up? Is there?
I think what this says is that if you are a business or if you are a local person and you're trying to decide, you know, should I support these arts and culture things, people are always asking me for donations and would I sponsor a program? Would I sponsor an event? Would I donate to their cause? You should think about these numbers because what this says is you should support them because they give back. This is not just money that floats out. If you give money to one of these local nonprofits, it comes back. And this data shows it.
Is there a place where people can view this data online?
There's a couple of things. One is FRA is our local sponsor, the Florence Regional Arts Alliance. It's on their website. It's also on the Oregon Arts Commission website, which is OregonArtsCommission.org.
All right.
Or you can get a hold of anybody on the steering committee, Bettina, me, or anybody else.
Well, thank you both for being here
today.
Thanks
for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Great information. And we know the arts and culture are alive in Florence for sure. Thank you.
And we've got the Call for Artists is out right now, too, for our new Art Exposed. So for all the artists that are out there, Harlan, do you know where they get the city? The city's website has the Art Exposed application.
Yes. And it's also on a thing called CAFE,
right,
which is Call for Artists, which almost all artists know about. That's where they submit their data.
All right.
So
well, thank you both.
Looking forward to that.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to the December edition of Our Town on Coast Radio. Coming up in the next hour, we have a couple more interviews. Bob Sten will be joining us and bringing you an interview about the fentanyl problem and fentanyl issues that are happening, including what's going on in the schools today. And we'll also have a look at the upcoming Christmas food basket distribution that is done by Soroptimist International. But first, we'll have ABC News at the top of the hour, followed by Coast Radio News, weather, and sports. And then we'll continue with Our Town right after that. You're listening to Coast Radio.